أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Since the last three sessions we have been discussing under the subject of the values of Islam, the divine values of Islam, we have been talking about the most trustable and trustworthy and reliable grip or handle of the iman and faith in the light of the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And the most reliable grip or handle which can be trusted to protect our iman and faith is al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdhu fillah. That means we love whomsoever we love for the sake of Allah, and we hate whomsoever we hate for the sake of Allah. Al-mu'alat wal-mu'adat fillah. We also say it like that. So doing mu'alat or mu'adat for the sake of Allah. We've discussed in the previous lessons about the concept of hate and bughd, and why and whom and which categories are hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what's our responsibility towards them. We discussed that in the previous lessons, and tonight is the turn for the hub, the remainder half of the subject. Who are we supposed to love, and who are those categories of the humans which are the most beloved in the eyes of Allah, and our responsibility towards them, and obviously we will also talk about the reward of those who love. Well, first of all, the ayat from Surah At-Tawbah, which I recited, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ. So this in this ayat we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking His Messenger to say to His Ummat if your fathers and children and brothers and spouses and your tribe and the money that you have gathered and the business that, in other words, you are afraid to lose or getting a decrease in the business. These are the common excuses that people furnish, isn't it right? When you talk about loving the beloved of Allah and hating the mabgood and hated people in the eyes of Allah, these are the excuses that people furnish, isn't it right? So all those loopholes are already filled up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no room for anybody to furnish excuses in the name of being, you know, we understand the society better. You know, right? These are very common excuses. We are living in the West, so we know the society better. And I said to some of the people, okay, you know the society better or Rasulullah knows it better? If you say Rasulullah doesn't know, and that's the reason why Islam cannot provide you the solution to the problems in the West, problems that we Muslims are facing while living in the West. If you can say that Rasulullah is unable to provide the solutions because his religion, Islam, and his Sharia, which is nasikh and invalidating for all the previous legislatures of Allah, is unable and ineligible to provide solution to the current problems, then actually you are putting your tuhmat on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? That Allah is incompetent to provide solution. And despite the fact He calls His last messenger to be Khatam al-Mursaleen, but still He is incompetent to provide the solution. Isn't it right? That's exactly what it translates into. This is where some people think they are over smart and they are open minded. So, تِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا. And the houses that you like. Isn't it right? So, we people say, well, we are living in that kind of living in houses. I worked 35 years of my life, you know, right? So I worked hard to bring about this sort of living style, lifestyle for me and my children. And you know what? I'm ready to give away. Isn't it right? These are things that people furnish as excuses. وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ. These are more beloved in your eyes than Allah, min Allahi, wa rasulihi, and His Messenger, wa jihadin fi sabilihi, and jihad in His path, fatarabbasu, then wait. Up till when are we supposed to wait? Hatta ya'ti Allahu bi amrihi, until Allah sends His adab and punishment. Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqeen, and Allah does not guide the fusaq, the evil transgressors. Once you transgress the laws of Allah and the red lines, then Allah is not going to provide you no guidance at all until you yourself take the first step to do the tawbah. First things first, you violated, get back from your violations and do tawbah, and then you can expect any further guidance from Allah. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِ الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. So we need to stop doing the fisk in our life first. First things first, and then will be the guidance coming our way. So, hadith of the Holy Prophet says, أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالِ أَلْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The most superior of all the actions is loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. Also, another hadith from the Holy Prophet says, "Tuba lil mutahabbina fi Allah." That means those people who love each other for the sake of Allah deserves to be congratulated. They deserve to be congratulated. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala khalaqa fil jannati amudan min yaqutatin hamra. Prophet said Allah created a pillar of ruby in paradise. Alayhi sab'una alfu qasrin. There are 70,000 palaces on top of that ruby pillar. Fi kulli qasrin sab'una alf ghurfa. In every such a huge palace, just imagine, unthinkable for us, and incredible. So Prophet says, in every palace there are 70,000 rooms. You won't find in any house in the world where it has 70,000 rooms. Yeah, you can find some of the palaces in France where there was no toilet. Is that right? And these people then try to teach us civilization. Well, the religion Islam of the Holy Prophet teaches us 32 ahkam of using the Baytul Khala, Dawratul Miyah, toilet. In the Shariat of Rasulullah, there are 32 ahkam or an adab about using the toilet. Whereas some of the palaces in France have no toilet. So we find in the Mutahabbin of Allah, يوم القيامة على توبة للمتحبين في الله إن الله تبارك وتعالى خلق في الجنة عمودا من ياقوتة حمراء عليه 70,000 قصر في كل قصر 70,000 غرفة خلقها الله عز وجل للمتحبين والمتزاورين في الله. So this red ruby pillar in the paradise, there's 70,000 palaces on top. It's holding 70,000 palaces over it, and in each palace there are 70,000 rooms. That's for those who love Allah, each other for the sake of Allah, and visit each other. They go for the ziyarat of each other for the sake of Allah. We did discuss ziyarat til akh al mu'min fi Allah in one of the speeches. It's so much thawab to pay a visit to your mu'min brother for the sake of Allah, not for any material reason. So anyone who visits his fellow mu'min brother min ajli imanihi, for the sake of his iman, he's actually visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we did discuss that. Now another hadith, and this putting you the introduction to the subject first, and the eyes of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, this is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Where he says, "Innal mutahabbina fi Allah yawm al-qiyamati ala manabira min nur." So those people who love each other for the sake of Allah are on the members of nur. Qad adaa nuru ajsadihim wa nuru manabirihim kulla shay'in. So the nur coming from their bodies and the nur coming from their members will be illuminating everything, hatta yu'rafu bihi, until they will be recognized. All the people in the day of mahshar will recognize them through that. فَيُقَالْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُتَحَابُونَ فِي اللَّهِ. So there is a special treatment of Allah, that those who love each other for the sake of Allah will be clearly recognized in the day of judgment. This is the category of people who used to love each other for the sake of Allah, and that's how they are treated differently in the kind of nur that's coming out from them. So another hadith again from our sixth Imam alayhi salam says, "Maltaqa mu'minani qat illa kana afdaluhuma ashaddahuma hubban li akhihi." Whenever two mu'mins meet with each other, the one who has more severe love towards the other is the most superior one in the eyes of Allah, in other words. So whenever two of the mu'mins meet with each other, and if you want to find out which of the two are more superior in the eyes of Allah, both are mu'mins. who is more superior in the eyes of Allah. Now we have to find out who, in whose mu'min, in whose heart there is severe love towards his brother more than the other. So that person is more superior in the eyes of Allah. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined people whom he loves, and our religion is very clear about those people who are the beloved of Allah. We will discuss those people. Obviously, I will mention few of them. So before I come to that, I would like to mention some of the alamat and signs. First, let's talk about the signs of the muhib. We have alamatul muhib and we have alamatul hub. Alamatul muhib means the signs of the lover. How do we recognize that this person is a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And alamatul hub means the signs of the love. But obviously deep down it's all integrated, it's all intertwined with each other. But still there are certain fine lines that divide these two things. So alamatul muhib first, signs of the lover. So Amir Nabi alayhi salam says that man ahabbaka nahaka, whoever loves you he is going to do nahi anil munkar towards you. He will stop you from the haram. If I am doing a haram, God forbid, in my life, and there is another mu'min who sees that I am doing a haram, if he loves me for the sake of Allah, he is definitely going to do nahi anil munkar towards me. So if we ignore the haram of our fellow mu'min brother, despite the fact we know and we notice that, that means we don't love each other for the sake. We are not muhib fillah. It's not going to happen. You love a person for the sake of Allah and you know what Allah likes and dislikes, and you see this woman is doing what Allah dislikes, you're still not guiding him. For what kind of love you have towards Allah? It's all fake. Isn't it? So first alamat of a lover for the sake of Allah, who loves his anyone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he's going to do nahi anil munkar. He's not going to ignore the harams of the people. Also, another hadith from Amir Nabi alayhi salam says that man ahabba shay'an lahaja bi dhikrihi, whoever loves something, he will, his tongue will say it, will mention it. So our tongue will be speaking about what we love. That's the way it will, you know, it will be expressed through the tongue. So basically, love will be expressed orally. Also, another hadith from Amir Wali alayhi salam says, "Inna al-mawaddata yu'abbiru anha al-lisan wa anil mahabbati al-aynan." That means the mawaddat is expressed through the tongue and the love is expressed through the eyes. So if you have mawaddat towards somebody, your tongue will express it. If you have love towards someone, your eyes will express it. So obviously it's so clear, if we love Imam Hussain alayhi salam, our eyes shed the tears in the love of Hussain ibn Ali alayhi salam. Isn't it right? This is one of the ways how our eyes express the love. So this is the sign of the love coming through the eyes. Eyes are the door towards discovering the love of the person. And tongue is the door towards discovering the mawaddat of a person. And last of all, as we are discussing the alamat and sign of a muhib, this is from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, "Dalil al-hub إثار المحبوب على من سواه." So the sign of love is that you give preference to your beloved over everyone else, or anything else, everyone else. Basically, anyone other than him. So if you are giving preference to your beloved over everyone and everything other than him, that's the sign and evidence that now that you love your beloved. So this is how a person becomes the beloved. Now let's go to the alaim, the signs of the hub, the love itself. The love, how can be love, how can the love be proven that we have the love in our qalb? How can we prove that? It has signs. For every haqiqat and reality, there are certain signs. So the reality of love is proven through these signs that we are mentioning, and these are in total six. In total there are, five. There are total five signs which are mentioned that prove the love of, is there, existence of love. First of all, ittiba'ur rasul. Sign number one of hub of Allah in your heart. Here's the sign. Sign number one is ittiba' of the messenger. Because Quran has said that Surah Ali Imran that قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. So say, if you love Allah, then obey me. Allah is asking the messenger to tell the ummah that say, that means say to them, if you people love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, do my ittiba. That means obey me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. What will be the end result? What would be the natija of that is going to be that Allah will end up loving you. So we need to have obedience and ittiba of the messenger. Another hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Man sarrahu an ya'lama anna Allah yuhibbuhu falyamal bita'atillah." Whosoever loves to, you know, it pleases him to know whether Allah, you know, that Allah loves him. If somebody wants to find out, in other words, whether or not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me or not, that this is the way to find out. فَلْيَعْمَلْ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, he should obey Allah. وَلْيَتَّبِعْنَا, and must be do ittiba of ours. That means we obey and follow the Ahlul Bayt. أَلَمْ يَسْتَمِعْ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لِنَبِيهِ, didn't he listen to the statement of Allah to his Prophet? And then Imam Sadiq recited the same ayat from Surah Ali Imran that I just recited. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. So the first sign is obedience towards Allah. So you know the story how Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari rahmatullah alayhi in the Battle of Tabuk, when Prophet is marching towards Tabuk, which was way far into the desert, because he heard the news that the Roman Empire is about to attack the Muslims. So it is hamaqat to keep waiting for the enemies to come right into your hometown and then you start defending yourself. Obviously you have to go out of your town. You cannot stay inside your town to defend yourself, because Imam Ali has already said in Nahj al-Balagha, مَا غُزِيَ قَوْمٌ فِي أُقْرِ دَارِهِمْ إِلَّا ذَلُّ. Any person, any nation who is basically attacked by outsiders inside their home becomes zaleel. So this is how, if we stay inside our home and let the enemy come inside my house to attack me, inside my home, inside my country, inside my city, inside my state to attack me, and I'm sitting there idle, and let them come in, these people are zaleel. مَا غُزِيَ قَوْمٌ فِي أُقْرِ دَارِهِمْ إِلَّا ذَلُّ. So a prophet is not going to allow the zillat, is that right? فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلَرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So he is the mazhar of the name of Al-Aziz of Allah. So Prophet moves out of his town, goes far away into the desert towards the north and towards Sham, and about the Battle of Tabuk that never happened. Battle of Tabuk never happened. You know, Prophet went there. Excuse me. the news was proven to be incorrect about the attack of the Roman Empire. But Prophet took an action over the news. Isn't it right? And we learned so many lessons from the behavior and sunnah and teachings of the Prophet. So he went to the Battle of Tabuk, and it's a long, long travel. In the Battle of Tabuk, the provisions, zad, the things that you carry in travel, and the food, etc., were very, very less. Extremely less. One date was consumed by 3 people. One date was broken into 3 pieces and given to 3 people to eat in a day. You can understand how much shortage of food was there. Extremely high shortage. The Prophet did not, this does not stop the Prophet from doing his wazifa and fariza towards Allah. And right, just like Imam al-Khumayni Ridwanullah Alayhi used to say, نَحْنُ مُكَلَّفُونَ بِالْفَرِيضَ لَسْنَ مُكَلَّفِينَ بِالنَّتِيجَةِ. We are obliged to do our duty. We don't care about the result. Natija is with Allah. Prophet moved towards the Battle of Tabuk, and hot weather, shortage of food, no water to drink, water ended in the kafila, and the Prophet is continuing, did not stop. Somebody, one of the Ashab, said to the Prophet, such and such person is no longer with us, he stayed behind. It's very hard to continue in a burning hot weather without food and water. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if there is khair in him, Allah will return him back to us. And if there is no khair in him, it's better that he left. After a while, the caravan continued, and one of the ashab told him, such and such person is also, he stopped, he is no longer with us. Prophet repeated the same reply, if there is khair in him, Allah will return him back to us. If there is no khair in him, it's better that he left. Look at the wisdom of Rasulullah. And finally, third of all, somebody told the Prophet that Abu Zar is no longer with us. Abu Zar is a very close companion, so it's a big news. Prophet said the same thing. If there is khair in him, Allah will return him back to us. If there is no khair in him, it's better that he left. And after a while, they saw something moving from far away in the desert, just like a mirage. So, Prophet said it has to be Abu Zar, in other words. So, and after a while, persons gradually moving, coming forward slowly, and he reaches to the Holy Prophet. So what happened is that Abu Zar wanted to come with the Prophet, obviously, but the problem was his camel was thirsty. Camel stopped walking any further and it fell down. He tried hard to make the camel, continue to walk, but the camel didn't walk further. Now Abu Zar obviously leaves the camel alone and starts walking himself. And as he is walking, he himself was a very skinny person and also an old person and extremely tired and hungry and thirsty. As he is walking slowly, he finds some water under the shadow, because in desert there are sand dunes, and when sun rays comes and there's a little small sand hill, and behind the hill there's a little ditch of water which is hidden under the shadow. Sometimes you find water and which is very cold and very nice water, which is hidden in the shadow. So he did find some nice water. Especially in the hot weather, you love to get the water, isn't it right? So he found the water and he tasted the water a little bit, and it was so nice and cold. So he thought to himself that, well, how can I drink water as long as my Mahbub, my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is thirsty. We are talking about the phenomena of love in Islam. How can I drink water as long as Rasulullah, who is my beloved, is thirsty? So he didn't drink any water. He just tasted the water, he did not drink. And he gathered all whatever water he can take, and he carried in the bag with him, and he started to move gradually. He's very thirsty. He cannot walk properly. He's falling down and walking very slowly. Finally, when he reaches the Holy Prophet, he collapses on the ground. He cannot continue to stand. He was so exhausted. Prophet said, "Give him water." He says with a very slow voice that, "I have water with me. And nobody should bother to bring water from elsewhere." Water was already extremely short in the kafila. So Prophet said, "You have water with you and you are dying of, in other words, of thirst, you know, in this situation, in other words." So he said, he explained the same story that, well, what happened is that I found this water, it was so nice, and I thought to myself that it's not going to happen that I can drink water before you. Before my beloved, the Prophet drinks the water, I cannot basically drink water before you. So this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
has been doing the tarbiyat and the spiritual upbringing of the people. This is how we are discussing the love. So obeying the Holy Prophet is the sign number one of hub. Now the second sign is Qiyam al-Layl, standing up in the night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq for that. فيما أوحى الله تعالى إلى موسى كذب من زعم أنه يحبني. Among the things that Allah, in other words, things that Allah have sent in His wahi on Prophet Musa, is that a person who thinks that he loves me, فإذا جنه الليل نام عني. A person who thinks that he loves me, and when the night surrounds him, night comes, he sleeps away from me, that means doesn't stand up in the night, is lying. That means Allah doesn't accept his claim that he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the night comes, he sleeps away from me, that means he doesn't stand up in the night. Alaysa, then Allah says to Prophet Musa, Alaysa kullu muhibbin yuhibbu khalwata habibihi. Isn't that every lover wants to have a lonely time with his beloved? So see, when we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He is our Mahbub, then we should have a lonely time with Allah alone. So here we find Allah says, يا ابن عمران مطلع على أحبائي إذا جنهم الليل حولت أبصارهم من قلوبهم ومثلت عقوبتي بين أعينهم يخاطبونني عن المشاهدة ويكلموني عن الحضور. So basically in the night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings his uqubat and punishment in front of the eyes of his lovers, so they see it and they talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the presence. This is what happens to the muhibbin and the lovers of Allah in the night. So obviously this is the level of the awliya Allah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to be among them. The third alamat and sign, as we are discussing the alamat of the love and muhabbat of Allah, the third alamat and sign of the love is al-ishtighal bi-zikrillah. And I will end my speech there, inshallah we'll discuss the fourth and fifth later on. So engaging in the remembrance of Allah, a person who always makes himself busy and engaged in the remembrance of Allah, he is a beloved of God and he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously hubb has maratib, zikr is one of the levels, you know, there are levels which are higher than zikr as well. Some of our greatest ulama have written beautiful books on the subject of zikr, which is an extremely interesting subject of Islam. If we talk about exclusively the concept of zikr and remembrance of God, what is the concept of zikr, what are the darajat of zikr, who is considered to be a zakir, someone who is in the stage and of remembrance of Allah, and who is the mazkur, the remembered. So Ayatullah al-Uzma Hassan Zada Amuli Hafizahullah, one of our greatest ulama who is alive, he has a beautiful book actually on this subject, Risalaye Zikro Zakiro Maskur. So this is a very interesting subject. So basically engaging ourselves in the zikr of Allah. The hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that Hubbullah idha aba'a ala sirri abdin akhlahu an kulli shaghilin. So when the love of Allah, when the love of Allah illuminates the hidden of a servant, it basically makes him cleaned up or makes him free of everything else that can engage him. وَكُلَّ ذِكْرٍ سِوَى اللَّهِ, and every remembrance other than Allah. وَالْمُحِبُّ, please say salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وَالْمُحِبُّ أَخْلَصُ النَّاسِ سِرًّا لِلَّهِ, and the lover is the most cleanest and sincerest, most khalis and most purified of all the humans, from in terms of his inside. Sir means the inside of the person, the batin of the person. The lover of Allah is the most pure of all the humans in terms of his inside for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa asdaquhum qawlan, and the most truthful in terms of the statement, that means truth telling. Wa awfahum ahdan, and most fulfilling of the covenant. So this is how, when a person is filled up with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is bound to be engaged in the zikr of Allah all the times. So zikr is one of the aftermaths and asar of the hubb. If the hubb comes inside the qalb, zikr comes, zikr appears always in the qalb and outside the qalb, that means through the a'dha and jawarih, the parts of the body and including the tongue. Alamatu hubbillahi ta'ala hubbu zikrillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as it is narrated in Kanzul Ummal, that the sign of the love of Allah is loving the remembrance of Allah, hub of the zikr of Allah. Wa alamatu bughdillah, and the sign of hating Allah, bughd of Allah, is bughdu zikrillahi azza wa jal. A person hates the zikr and remembrance of Allah. So we find that in one of the instances, It is narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, wadadtu an a'lama man tuhibbu min ibadika fa'uhibbuhu. O my Lord, I love to learn which of your servants you love so that I can love him. فَقَالَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَبْدِي يُكْثِرُ ذِكْرِي فَأَنَا أَذِنْتُ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكْ وَأَنَا أُحِبُّهُ. When you see a servant who remembers me a lot, that means performs the zikr a lot, فَأَنَا أَذِنْتُ لَهُ فِي ذَلِكْ, I am the one who gave permission to him for that. That means Allah who causes us to do the zikr of Allah. وَأَنَا أُحِبُّهُ, and I love him. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَبْدِي لَا يَذْكُرُنِي, and when you see my servant does not remember me, فَأَنَا حَجَبْتُهُ وَأَنَا أُبْغَدُهُ, I have blocked him and I hate him. So whenever you find a person is not remembering Allah, this is the sign that Allah gave the permission to that person. Isn't it right? So that's why he ends up remembering Allah and doing the zikr of Allah. You ask some people to do the prayers, salat and psalm and fasting and, isn't it right, and hajj and khums and fulfill your financial obligations and do this farida, and you find people are running away and escaping from the farida of Allah. They don't remember Allah. They don't want to remember Allah. They're running away from the remembrance of Allah. This is the reason, because we have done so many sins earlier that shaitan is now controlling, and because shaitan is controlling, he doesn't allow me to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of me allowing and accommodating the shaitan over and over again, isn't it right? لا يزال الشيطان يلعب من بني آدم ما حافظ على الصلوات الخمس. Shaitan continues to be afraid of the humankind until a person protects his five time prayers. فَإِذَا ضَيَّعَهُنَّ, when a person wastes his prayers, تَجَرَّعَ عَلَيْهِ, shaitan braves him. وَأَوْقَعَهُ فِي الْعَزَائِمِ, and makes him fall into bigger sins. So the process of sinning is like this. First, the human himself need to be blamed because he did not protect his five time prayers himself wishfully with his own consent. So now that he wasted the prayers, he accommodated shaitan. Okay, shaitan, come here. Take charge of my control. Now you accommodated shaitan. Shaitan cannot come to you to take charge of your control. Amir Mu'minin tells us shaitan is afraid from the humans. Shaitan takes your charge only when we waste the prayers. So now we find a person who does not remember, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَبْدِي, Allah said to the Prophet, when you find my servant, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَبْدِي لَا يَذْكُرُونِي, he doesn't remember me, فَأَنَا حَجَبْتُهُ, I blocked him. Allah blocks a person, it's not in the hadith, I'm explaining to you, when a person has previously done sins which he did not do the tawbah for. So Allah punishes, a time arrives that Allah warns and then he starts punishing the person, so he's now blocked from the zikr and remembrance. وَأَنَا أُبْغِدُهُ, and I hate him. وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ
الطَّاهِرِينَ.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the times. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's read the آيات الكريمة. Five times some of the Mumineen have specially requested for dua. Some of the Mumineen are seriously ill, and for all those mu'mineen who have hajat, and also all the mu'mineen and mu'minat who have gone for hajj, the hujjaj and zaireen, zaireen who are visiting Karbala, which has more sawab to visit in the Yawm of Arafah. For all the mu'mineen in Islamic Ummah, especially those who have requested for dua, let's recite the Ayatul Kareema 5 times. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Amman yujibul muhtarra iza da'ahu wa yakshif al-su' Amman yujibul muhtarra iza da'ahu wa yakshif al-su' Amman yujibul muhtarra iza da'ahu wa yakshif al-su' أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.